think about some of the different reasons why we say things we've been using this book.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you get Baker's Dozen. How did 13 come to be called a Baker's Dozen?
That's a great question.
Any idea?
I'm thinking that bakers like doing business with their customers, and so they were throwing in a little bonus on the dozen.
Kind of got in the neighborhood there. In the early days in England, the price of bread was fixed by law. This law allowed hucksters to get 13 batches of bread for the price of 12. The 13th batch was their profit.
Thank you. I just learned something.
Yeah, well, you know, it's why we're here.
Entertainment, folks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll put that one in quotes. Oh, so what is the neatest, coolest, newest thing going on at St. Bernard's?
Well, that's a great question. There's so much new.
No, I can
answer any way I want. I thought no,
you can, but this is also math quiz.
One thing that I'm most excited about is this idea of our students graduating not just with the academic know-how to do well in college and the leadership skills to excel beyond college, but the idea that this group's going to graduate with those skills in their back pocket that we come up against as homeowners. Things like, how do you fix your toilet when it breaks? You're on the highway, your tire pops. How do you change that tire? Finance.
So real life stuff.
And this is what made it exciting for me. I sent out a request to our parents right at the beginning of the summer. Hey, help me build this list. And within 48 hours, I had 500 ideas. A lot of duplicates, but it resonated with our families that, hey, this is a great idea. This is something we can get behind, and it'll be great for our kids.
What were some of the more surprising suggestions? I don't want to say esoteric because they're probably
all. You know what? The ones that made me smile got outside of the sew the button back on or how to iron that shirt to you get in a heated argument with your spouse or, you know, your significant other. You know, how do you manage to communicate? What are the steps? And that resonates with me again. Sarah and I remember 2-3 years into our marriage, her parents sent us to this conference in Seattle, the Gottman Institute. And they talked about, you know, when you get flooded, what happens to your brain? You know, it just narrows down. You don't make good decisions. You get retaliatory. And they, you know, their suggestion, you know, when you get to that spot, just walk away.
Get up, walk around.
Yeah, get some space, yep. And then come back and sit down, and it'll be fine. But you get that flooded state going, you're not going to make any good decisions.
Well, the heat of the moment, I think.
The
is
heat of the moment.
That's used,
yeah, but. Yeah. And that also triggered for me the love languages. You know, that's just a great book with some, you know, what triggers people in a way that gets them to respond in a positive way.
So basically you're looking to avoid having to pay Lou Quimby. Which makes a whole lot of sense. I would think, you know, if I had received the email.
Right.
Communication skills.
Absolutely.
Would have been, because we don't teach that. We don't teach how to talk. We don't teach how to read verbal and nonverbal.
Right.
We don't do a lot of that stuff, the vernacular.
Right.
Instead of what is, you know, the words. I'm not a wordsmith, but I certainly like to pay attention to the words that are said and take them at their literal meaning rather than maybe what the current application is or the dis.
Right.
What is disrespect? I know what it is in the textbook.
Uh-huh.
In the Funk and Wagnalls, so to speak.
Right.
Going old school on this one. But does that mean somebody didn't pay attention to you? Does that mean that they didn't agree with you? Does that mean that they didn't carry out what your very rudimentary suggestion was and somehow now you're taking a personal affront?
Right.
Time out here, gang. Let's find out what is going on.
And communication also involves the listener, right? Are you listening to respond? Or are you listening to understand? And at St. Bernard's, we do a pretty good job through our leadership classes, in our English classes, social study, getting kids on stage where they're in front of a large audience. And it's really fun for me to see kids, you know, because it's terrifying public speaking can be terrifying, but you get up in front of 250 people and you survive, and then you do it again, and then you do it for 4 years, and then you're enjoying it and you're smiling, and
it normalizes,
and you learn. This is one thing it took me a while to learn. Whenever you're up against that level of communication, the more thought you put into it beforehand, the more planning you put, you know how you're going to start, you know how you're going to end, then your brain can focus on the middle and not on how scared you are about what's going to come up next.
Maybe that's what the problem I have with this show. it's interesting, you know, the skill sets, you know, public speaking. Okay, how do you? Mm-hmm. It's no surprise that most everybody knows that we go to Sacred Heart.
Right.
That would be the Catholic church in the area.
What about St. Bernard's?
Oh, you're listening. Okay.
Pretty sure my parents were married there. Baptisms.
Were we. We got sucked in on that one, too.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
But anyway.
You're still Catholic.
Catholic and still Sacred Heart. It's the one I grew up with. Uh-huh. Anyway. Trying to read, you know, be a lector. You know, you read out of for those that are unfamiliar, you read out of the Bible, either the Old Testament or the Gospel. I can never do that.
Never.
I can't. One of my weaknesses is my mind gets ahead of my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do a speech, public speaking, I have bullet points.
Right.
Everyone is different.
Yeah.
There is no, we'll have the pat start and we'll have the pat. Uh-uh. Everything is different because circumstances change.
And you react to your audience as well. You're in the moment. You've got to be in the
moment. A lot of people react differently. They want something that's very structured so that they can.
Well,
because of the fear.
Right.
You know, for me, a lot of it is pretty straightforward. Sweaty palms. If your palms are not sweaty, you're comfortable.
Yeah. Well, they talk, too, about butterflies. And
I got a great quote for you on that one.
All right. I'll hold.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with principal in charge at St. Bernard's School.
Mm-hmm. High school, junior high school.
Catholic school, yeah. Before the break, you were saying butterflies.
Yeah.
I think that says that you care.
And you tend to remember those moments when you get butterflies. If you're going week after week after week with no butterflies, you're not growing very much.
Yeah, there's no push. There's no new territory, particularly at that age.
Particularly at that age.
Buddy of mine. He's a radio guy out of Ohio, Lou Vito, his son, who was an Olympic snowboarder, ESPN commentator and all that kind of stuff, Dancing with the Stars. And he had been asked a question one time, when you get nervous, and he used the line that Lou uses for sales, which is the same thing for public speaking. He says, everybody gets butterflies. The trick is to get them to fly in formation. And I thought, you know, just little words like that or little phrases like that normalize what a lot of us see as extraordinary.
Right.
Oh, well, nobody's gone through this before. Well, I bet you there's a couple million who have over the years.
But when you're 15 or 16 years old, really,
and
it's
you. Ask out.
It's your first time, and your heart's going to race. Your palms might get sweaty, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, that's all part of
your stomach's uncomfortable. Is it something you ate? No, your body is ready to go into battle. It doesn't know any better. It's ready for battle. Let's go.
The adrenaline, the fight or flight.
Yeah, it's kicked in.
Yeah. So it would be really intriguing for me on this list of 100 that you were referencing earlier in the show, if there was some way to get the kids to understand that reaching out and asking for help, for assistance, for others' experiences is not only healthy, but almost a requirement. How do I learn from what Paul did so I don't repeat the same things, or I can at least feel like, okay, this is normal. I don't have to get into this emotional whirlwind and get sucked into things that I don't have to go to.
And so two thoughts on
changing that. Changing a toilet could be the same thing, too.
Right.
Ask out
right.
and find what.
So on this list of 100, my idea is it's not three teachers going through the whole list with all the kids. It's the resources you mentioned that are in the community, in your family. So it might be that Tony's going to go to his grandfather, and his grandfather's going to walk him through something, and then his grandfather signs him off, right? It might be then Tony's friends are like, oh, your grandfather, well, can we go? Can we go talk to your grandfather? Oh, yeah, no problem. He'd love to show you. Go on over, you know. And so
Forced networking.
And what happens is then Tony's grandfather notices that, let's say, Lucy listened really well, got it quickly, and he might then have a friend that gives Lucy a job down the road. You know, they'll remember these connections. It's important, I think, for our young to know that this place that we live in is just saturated with talent.
Now, is this a Shanahan original? Or did you find... Yeah, okay. Or did you network for it?
The 100?
Yeah.
The 100...
Not Tony's grandpa.
No. It goes back. Jim Ritter, who many of your listeners know well, has been running seminars at St. Bernard's for 2 years and bringing in talented local folks to talk about their profession and kind of that circuitous route they took to whatever they're doing now. And we did a panel a couple years ago, and we brought in carpenters, a lot of Danco employees, talented, articulate, wonderful people. And they walked students through some basic skills. And the thought is, well, you know, changing a light switch, changing a tire, that's just the beginning, right? 100 is just the beginning. But as you say, you start building up, oh, how do you network? How do you get answers? Well, the 100 then quickly becomes 1,000 as they go off into the world.
Well, one of the challenges I would suspect if you're pure academia is that you have a perverse independent streak, almost to a fault. Yeah, there are some alumni that I'm very familiar mm-hmm. with from St. Bernard's who couldn't buy a wheel; they had to reinvent it themselves. And you're like, okay, wait a minute, kid.
Right.
Take advantage of what's out there. Do the outreach. Make sure that get confirmation, if nothing else. You don't have to carry the load all on your own back.
Right.
It doesn't have to have your initials on it. It can be learned.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, you look at the diversity of our population. You have low income, middle income, upper income families. And sometimes that's all you know. You know what you have. You know the house you're in. And if it's a household that's struggling to, you know, pay for electricity every month, a household that's struggling just to get through the month, then you're less likely to reach out in a way that someone that's not thinking about food can get outside. And
it's almost a siege mentality.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Or like doing a term paper at 11:30 at night.
Right. Well, there's learning. There's learning there. There's learning there.
Yeah.
There's learning there. Do I really want? Is this really what I want to be doing on a Thursday night at 11:30? No, you know, started earlier.
Well, for us, it used to be Johnny. Didn't want to miss him.
No.
But now, I don't know. You know,
talk about a shared experience. I mean, Johnny was one of the last to pull us all in the same room together.
Yeah. Well, and there's some of that kind of nostalgic, I think, that's in there that the kids coming through would benefit from.
Mm, yeah,
whether it's changing a tire and mm-hmm. instead of, you know, calling somebody to do it, or figuring out, you know, the toilet and mm-hmm. those types of things, getting real normal guy skills.
Right.
You know, so if that was the most creative, what was the most common response you got?
Common finances. That almost every response, people go out into the world and they, you know, gain a home loan. How do the interest rates work? Filling out, as you mentioned earlier, tax. You know, tax forms. And we have a program at school, VITA, and so we have some students that are trained to help others do their tax. But it's not across the board. This is an idea of, hey, you understand taxes, you know the process, and this is what, you know, what you're about. But yeah, the finances for sure. Email after email from parents.
That's cool that there's that coming out. Even having this thing that used to be called a people.
I know. It was mentioned probably 10 times, and I'm thinking here, going, yeah, it's all online now.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing a road trip.
The principles aren't.
No, yeah,
the concept is.
The concepts.
Yeah.
And there's some amazing apps on your phone.
Call it inventory management then.
Okay.
Give it a little sexy.
You can track every expense.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Paul Shanahan. Paul is the principal at St. Bernard's Catholic Schools. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag, and Lolita Cheese. Paul, during the break, I said something that I find is really intriguing with this top 100 list. No cell phone. Okay. 2 weeks. No cell phone. No cell phone at home, no cell phone in the car, no cell phone at school, no cell phone. Okay, now in the old days, right, we had the telephone, there was no answering machine.
Right.
That was it. Okay, we don't, now most homes don't have that, I understand. Fine. Okay, none of it.
Right, it all goes away.
What happens? How do you function? How do you communicate? How do you meet with somebody? How do you get information to your folks or to a boyfriend, girlfriend, or to a... How do you do that? Wouldn't that be an interesting reality check?
It would be. The high schools in Seattle, I worked in the district, Shoreline School District, and the students would do a full week without any electronic devices, and they would kind of keep a diary throughout the whole process.
From frustration and anger to...
The thing about that, you know the week's going to end, right? You know the week's going to end, but... You are forced to communicate in a different way, in a more personal way. You see it now, I'm sure, but when you get a text from a teenager, a text from a 30-something, and a text from a 70-year-old, that conversation is completely different, right? The 70-year-old is used to, my mom, for example. I mean, every text is about 1,000 characters, right? Detail, emotion. You go to the 15-year-old. And
it's correspondence.
There's a correspondence. It's like letter writing. And then the 17 or 15, 16-year-old, it's going to be abbreviations. It's going to be shorthand. There might not be any punctuation. So it's very difficult to see emotion or tone, right? It's very hard to find tone. And so now, as you say, you pull that phone away, you're forced into tone. And how does that work in a conversation?
Well, and with listening skills then, right, and communication skills and some of those basics, yeah, I would think dealing with frustration or things aren't going your way would be an interesting skill set for somebody, whether it was in a conversation or a negotiation or, okay, you know, I just got stuck for the fourth time from the rose bush. It's not working, you know, but, you know, what are you going to do, throw the rose bush against the wall?
Right.
I mean, like it's the rose's fault.
Well, often things... we think that it is the rose's fault. The other piece with the phone is, you know, we know now that there's all this dopamine, these dopamine hits the kids are getting from the likes and the connections. And so you're pulling away this almost addictive piece from their world for 2 weeks. And so you'd hope that they'd find, you know, whether it's a bike ride, walk on the beach, some interaction with nature that, hey, this is a much more enjoyable and more lasting way. Because with the hits you're getting from your phone, you're going back and back and back and back and more and more and more and more. And
what about reading skills, books, writing skills, composition? That was that on the list of what parents?
Yep, letter writing, resume writing. that sort of thing was coming up for sure.
We had an interesting one out here. Was with, I guess they would, I think there would be millennials still. Had never addressed an envelope.
Ah.
Never addressed an envelope.
Right.
A return address? What's that?
Wow. There you go.
Not a meter machine.
Right.
Some of those.
Yeah, you send 1,000 emails a month, but how many
right.
letters are you putting in the envelope?
And what is the difference between receiving a letter versus maybe a note that's typed out, handwriting?
Right.
Yeah, I've even heard somewhere last year that they're not teaching cursive writing anymore.
Right, right. Because you're keyboarding, right? You're keyboarding more quickly than you can cursive write. There will be students that will come into our school that can't read cursive, as if it's a different language.
Well, and that's the fear. Then a lot of the historicals go down to the county library and look at some of the old assessor's stuff.
Right. Yeah.
What's that?
Right.
It looks pretty, but what is it?
It's beautiful. It is beautiful. To your point about the letter writing versus the email and the handwriting, I think you and I, our generation, absolutely love getting a thank you card where someone's written out nicely. You know, they've thought about...
Stunner.
It's great.
Birthday card even that had something other than a signature on it.
Absolutely. Yep. And so, you know, that belongs on the 100.
You know, it'd be cool. I mean, since I kind of have your attention, the blank cards?
Yeah.
Go buy 10 blank cards.
Yeah.
Okay, by the end of the week. Yeah.
Fill them out.
So there's no message. There's nothing other than
right.
whatever's on the front.
Yeah. And it's the season, right? We just went through a graduation. I go to a lot of the celebrations, and I've been getting these thank you cards from the students. So A, awesome. They took the time to write a thank you card. B, I'm going to evaluate every one of them, right? For penmanship and
sure.
content and idea and thoughtfulness and how long did they take. And I love them all, but I'm still going to judge each one differently on that. And so.
Did they use a crayon? Pencil or a pen?
Yeah, right. It does kind of grate on you a little bit if you see something in pencil on a card like that.
Or a heart instead of a dot.
Well,
I know that's a new thing, but I've seen some older folks.
Right.
And they put the heart over the eye.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, boy.
And they can communicate in emojis, and that's great. So there you go. Thank you cards. You know, how long should you wait before you respond? And how nice is it when you respond right away? I had someone, we were up in Seattle, talk about the principal responded to a gift that afternoon with a card, handwritten. So, I mean, that's probably too tight within 24 hours, but it shows effort.
And then the postal service takes a week and a half. So you're
you never know.
I wonder how many of the kids have received one,
right.
other than from grandma or grandpa,
yeah.
or mom or dad. You know, a birthday card kind of thing. How many have received a letter?
That's a great question.
I bet you it would be frighteningly small.
It would be frighteningly small.
Pen pals. Do they still do pen pals, or is that Facebook now? And
well,
the
magic of pen pals, you can often live video stream directly into the classroom and have an interaction. As you talked about, communicate. They can't see your face at home, but smile here because it's an opportunity to see a different culture and interact. And you do need communication skills when you're face-to-face. It just happens to be through a screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody.
Hey.
You know.
Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Oh, KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Paul Shanahan. Paul, this 100 list, obviously, we've talked about, three items on it? I mean, it could be all-encompassing. It could be way cool. It could be back to school. It could be parent-teacher conferences. It could be all kinds of neat stuff. Where are you going to draw the line and start?
We have a senior seminar class the first week of school. I'm going to bring all the seniors together. We're going to have all the responses from the parents, and we're going to go through and And it try to balance it between, you know, home and finance and auto. So you get a sample across the 100, because it's not going to be an exhaustive list. But the goal is, hey, this one category, wow, I really enjoyed that finance section. Wow, okay, maybe as I go off to college, I might look further into it.
So you're looking at silos.
There's kind of, well, it could be. I'm a bit of a generalist, right? I'm at a high school. I love all the subjects. It might be that, hey, you know, for me, learning at 17, it was 17, to prep, prime, and paint a building. Our basketball team at St. Bernard's was going to Hawaii to play 4 basketball games over winter break, over Christmas break. So I painted the family home. It was $500 a kid. Well, then what did I do the summer after graduating from high school? Joined a local painting company, worked with Mike Wilson. Did stuff all over in Fortuna.
Survived it,
no problem. Mike's amazing. And, you know, that skill that I learned at 17 and 18 as a homeowner, you know, living in multiple states, going, it saved me, I mean, well over.
Gazillion.
Yeah, gazillion. Let's go with gazillion.
Yeah.
A gazillion plus one. Interior painting, exterior painting, you know, you need an extra $5,000. We'll go out and paint a couple houses, you know. So, little things like that, where that's not my job, but it's a skill I have that's in my back pocket. And that's the idea with the 100. It's like, oh, wow, maybe I'll start investing right now. You know, that little extra
or at least
I'm making.
Or at least make a determination from an informed perspective.
Right.
Yes or no, instead of going by intuition.
Right. What's a mutual fund? How does it work? So it's very exciting, because I already know from the response from the parents that there's going to be an impact on the kids and on the folks that they work with to get those items checked off.
Would it make sense to have a set for the junior high kids?
Ha! I send it out to junior high as well. They can start the 100 now.
Okay.
So they, as a seventh grader, you can be out there changing a tire with your mom this weekend, you know, first weekend after school starts, and get that checked off.
So they'll have 5 years, so that's 20, so that's like one or two events a month.
So, or it just grows for them, right? This is year one, so maybe it grows. I did have one parent a little bit concerned that the list might be a little long for the seniors who only have a one year. And my thought, of course, is, well, they're the ones most in need of as they go off into
it's
the...
It's only two a week. I mean, it's not, you know, it's changing toilets, okay.
Well,
yeah, that might
be
a
I've got
a
great story on that one. Sarah's third trimester. I'm at work. We're in Seattle. She's got a leaky issue with the toilet, calls in a local plumber up in Seattle. I get there just as he's writing her up. $350 for a partial toilet rebuild. Plus, he wanted to charge her.
Does that mean the wax ring?
Oh, it was not even the wax ring. It was the plastic flapper. It was the little flapper inside. So I stopped him. I'm like, okay, you're taking advantage of her right now. We walked through it. And so then, you know, we got an issue at home. Now I go, Owen's 13. We go to Ace. You know, I have him. You find the aisle, you find the person, you talk to him. Here's the one that's broken. Carry that around your hand. You'll be sure to get the right size. He comes out 5 minutes later with the right part. We go home. He switches it out in 10 minutes. Well, you know, there's a skill he'll have forever.
Cool stuff. And I suppose if folks want to know more, they can always give you a buzz or swing by the school. Or
absolutely. Yeah. We'd love to talk to you.
Very cool stuff. Thanks for coming by, Paul.
Thank you so much.
See everybody tomorrow.